Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome my brothers and sisters to the Common Salvation Ministries, opening the eyes of the nation one eye at a time. And I am pleased to welcome your host and my wonderful husband, Phil Armstrong.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the show today. This is actually the Prophet's Zone. I'm just having a bad night. I apologize to everybody. That's another one of my programs on Blog Talk Radio. But actually, it fits the bill anyway, because we're going to be talking about the Haitian earthquake that just happened not too long ago. And we need to pray for those people there. Mr. Pat Robinson said it was an act of God, which he seems to have bad timing on every occasion. Actually, wrong timing, too, because he's prophesying different things every year that just ain't correct. So our thoughts and prayers are out to those people. And a lot of people are generous in this time of need for the Haitian people. And I really commend people for being like that in these days that we live in. And believe it or not, God will come and bless those who are helping in one way or another. It doesn't have to necessarily be in a blessing where they go to heaven, because we're not saved by works. But believe it or not, it'll come back somewhere, form, shape, form. It always does. I apologize because this show is supposed to have been on a long time ago, and I kind of like, just all of a sudden decided to have a show. And I promised I wouldn't do that, but I sort of get into those habits. And the show is supposed to be starting tomorrow, which is the 17th of January, and we're going to be consistent with our shows. Right now I'm going to try to extend the show, but the deal is that I was on the wrong computer, because the computer that I have does not have Skype. So right now, believe it or not, I'm going to try to download Skype, hang up, and call back. But I got 10 minutes. I'm probably going to extend the show for another 15 minutes if I can. And I got my phone. I'm holding myself on my house phone, and I'm ready. And I have my microphone and my everything ready to go, and I wanted to test it. But my Apple computer has Skype, not my Dell, which is unfortunate. And this computer, my Dell computer, is working like molasses right about now. I'm going to just talk about the Haitian earthquake versus the United States in the coming judgment. I believe that God has a reason for everything. And I think if you go outside and you get in a car wreck, is that a form of judgment? No, not necessarily. It's an accident. But if something happens, earthquake, for instance, in San Francisco, is that a form of judgment? No, it just happens. God has built the mechanisms of the earth, especially the earth's crust, to do certain things. Now, those people had no idea that this was going to happen. But there were evidence that there was a possibility that Haiti could have an earthquake. And yes, somebody had brought that up to the Haitian people, that yeah, you guys could have an earthquake. And surely be it, they had an earthquake, but the earth, the Bible talks about, will have, Jesus talked about in Matthew 24, that there should be earthquakes in diverse places. So that is something that we need to keep in mind. Now, God, even if this was a judgment, let's say it was. Let's just say it was a judgment from God. Let's just say, and I'm not saying it was. I'll just say it was. If you're Pat Robertson, shouldn't you just wait for a while before you open up your big fat mouth? Do it, you know, do it like 6 months after, you know, and then say, yeah, that was a judgment from God. Some people down there practice voodoo, but is it God? In that case, he would have smacked us a long time ago. I think what happens is God is what is omnipresent, omnipotent, omnipotent. He knows all things. And before the foundation of the earth, that earthquake was going to happen at that certain time. Because what happens is the stress that is down underneath the earth gives in, and it produces an earthquake. And for us to say that it was an act of God, maybe it was an act of God. But is this a time to talk about that? Let's help them. You know, let's help our fellow people, our brothers and sisters in Christ. There's some down there, I'm pretty sure. Let's help the people who are our neighbor. That's what that is. Those people are our neighbors. And we have to take care of our neighbors. The Bible says to love our neighbors as ourselves. Not only do you supposed to love them Haitian people, but you also should be loving your next door neighbor. See, it's easy to walk out the house and say, yeah, I'm going to help these Haitian people, la, 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 but walk out the house and can't stand your next door neighbor. And I'm not saying he didn't or she didn't give you any reason to hate them, but the Bible talks about us not hating anyone. And if you can love the people that live next door to you, and you can love your people that live in another country, then you are on your way. Because what does the Bible say? It says, Master, what is the greatest commandment of them all? He says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And the second one is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, among these laws, if you obey these, you cannot fail. And it is true, because I have examined it myself to see it. Because I'm going to probably step on some toes here, and I'm probably going to say some stuff that people say, well, why are you saying that on your radio program? But if you love the Lord your God, then you won't cheat on your wife, first of all. Then you won't gossip. You won't commit sexual pornography or sit in front of a TV, or you won't look at the opposite sex. Not like that. You would love your neighbor. You would not. Of course, we're going to fall, and we're going to make mistakes. But if you love your neighbor as yourself, you're going to probably eliminate a lot of things. And a lot of people out there, and even myself, I got road rage, so I can't tell you I love my neighbor 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's impossible, because I'm not making any excuses, but I have hypertension, so that adds to the fire. But as a Christian, I ask for help every day. This one lady is sitting in my class, and we in my criminal justice class, and we go in groups, and I sometimes hear her talking, and I don't know if she's talking about me or not, but she's a test. She's what you call a test. And she has this demeanor about herself where if I wasn't a Christian, I would probably want to slap the living daylights out of her, but I ask God for help. And I'm just being, you know, real with y'all that I need prayer. So she's in my class. Thank God I don't work with this lady. And I've met a lot of people like that. in the Army and through my life where I really have to ask for prayer and ask for forgiveness at times. And God is working through us all as Christians to live this life that is pleasing to Him. And we need to do that. But anyway, this is supposed to be the prophecy zone. I came on as the Common Salvation, and I apologize with them. I'm kind of carrying that tone. Because Common Salvation is going to be a radio show that talks about the Common Salvation, that the salvation that we need to have as Christians is a Common Salvation. And as we go on to study and to show ourselves approved, a workman needeth not ashamed. We need to go and study the Word of God, but first we need to be saved before we start studying. He said, what are you talking about? There is a foundation. When you build a house, when you build the house and you put in the foundation and you start to get that building going up or that house going up, do you come back and try to repair the foundation or alter the foundation? No, the house will crumble. So a lot of people, what they do is they get saved, build that foundation of study, then they start building the house. Then as they build the house, they find out these new doctrines, and then they go in and try to recreate the foundation. And there's only certain structures where people would do, especially in the military, we used to try to repair those old colonial-style houses. You can't even pick a house up and move and change the foundation. Not the structure of the house, the actual foundation. Now, you can pick a house up and move it to another foundation, and it might work. So this illustration is not 100% potent. But when we look at our lives, before we go in to study the Word of God, we need to have a plan. First of all, the plan is once you realize how you got saved, the basic common simplicity of Christ of how you got saved, you need to make sure that does not change. You say, what are you talking about? Because you can be saved by faith, and then sooner or later, your doctrine changes how you got saved. It should never change. If you truly get saved, your doctrine should never change. Now, the faith-to-faith-to-faith part, you say, well, we go from faith-to-faith-to-faith. Only, and I'm not saying secondary issues, you do not go from faith-to-faith-to-faith in your basic of salvation. When you find out that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, and he came to not only save you, but be your Lord, and he is walking with you daily, and what he said on the cross is, it is finished on the cross. The work of the cross was enough. The belief that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins was enough for you to be saved. But faith without works is dead. So to work that salvation out, and that salvation, because you remember, part of the armor of God is the arm of God is the feet, and as he walks forward, you're preaching the gospel. And see, a moving army is not going to be hit. Okay, even a hidden army would not be hit. It shouldn't be hit if it's hidden in the right places. We are hid in Christ. We're walking in faith. We're going forth in faith. So the just shall live by faith. And if the just is not living by faith, and the just is just living by new doctrines every 5 seconds, you're going to get yourself in trouble. We should stick to the basics of the cross, and then what you learn after that can be in terms of getting more faith, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Towards that foundation has already been set in stone, and the true stone is Jesus Christ. We will grow in the grace and the knowledge of the truth that God can work through us and be powerful through us. We grow in tithing. And it took me a while, still takes me a while to understand the importance of tithing. But God did say that he will bless us. To grow in your marriage, to grow at your work, to grow as a Christian. Those are the things that you work on after you're saved. But let's not go to some type of crusade to find out that lead by your words, or for faith is a force, or, you know, I can command God, in the name of Jesus, I command you, God, to give me $5,000 tomorrow. And then, see, that type of stuff starts to corrode your salvation. The Bible says that he who tries to seek after riches will affect themselves. They will affect themselves and whoever they're around. Sooner or later, it's going to get you your salvation. The love of money is the root of all evil. So yes, we Christians could be covetous. And that's one of the biggest warnings that God has given us about being covetous. So if our basics of salvation doctrine is bothered by when we sit down and we start studying and we try to find new tricks of the trade and things that nobody ever knew. The Bible says that even prophecy is not a private interpretation. Sooner or later, the Holy Spirit is going to have everybody on point. How much more the true doctrine of the cross, folks? We cannot afford to try to create a new doctrine. I heard Billy Graham, and I will play this on one of my shows, and I know a lot of people out there probably like Billy Graham, and I'm not the judge of nobody's, but I've heard him say just recently, and one of my church members said it's because he had leukemia or whatever the disease he has, and God bless his heart, and I pray for him. But they said that's why he said what I'm going to tell y'all what he said, and I was going to put this on my show, where anyway, he said that the people who believe in Buddha, Islam, New Age, all of them, everybody's going to heaven. Doesn't that sound retarded? If everybody was going to heaven, then why would Jesus have to come and die on the cross? And then he says something like to the tone of, he was on Robert Schuller, there's a broadness to God's love. Well, why did he say narrow is the gate to lead to life and few there be that find it, but broad is the way to lead to destruction and many go by it? I can't understand that for the life of me. Folks, somebody's going to have to tell me why does he actually believe that? And I'm going to take some chances, but what gets me, and I'm going back to Haiti, but what gets me is, see, if I come on my show and say there's a broadness to salvation, guys, and God will forgive a monkey. And I'm being funny there. But I'm going to let y'all listen to Billy Graham right quick. I actually got it. Hold on for a second.
Billy Graham.
Actually, that's the wrong one. I'm gonna wait till it comes on. Actually, hold on. I got another one. That was the wrong one. Let me try this one.
How do you feel when you see a lot of these strong Christian leaders go on television and say, you are condemned, you will live in hell if you do not accept Jesus Christ? And they are forceful and judgmental.
Well, they have a right to say that, and they are true to a certain extent, but that's not my calling. My calling is to preach the love of God and the forgiveness of God. And the fact that he does forgive us, that's what the cross is all about, what the resurrection is all about. That's the gospel. And you can get off on all kinds of different side trails. And in my earlier ministry, I did the same. But as I got older, I guess I became more mellow and more forgiving and more loving. And the Jerry Falwells, people like that, I love them. Thank God for their ministry. He has a great university. And three of my grandchildren have gone there. And they have had a tremendous change in their lives for being there. And some of the other people are the same way. But on the other end of the extreme, Reinhold Niebuhr here in New York years ago preached against me or spoke against me. I loved him with all my heart. I went to see him. And all these people.
Okay, I don't know how much of y'all heard about the first part of it when Billy Graham denies that Jesus is the only way. He was saying that a lot of the people, preachers out there who are saying that Jesus is the only way, are running off on a tangent. Now, if I was God, I'm not, and please don't say I'm not God, but if I was God, I would let Billy Graham go through the tribulation period, because that's exactly where he's headed, if he doesn't pass away. And I'm going to pray for Billy Graham and add him to my prayer list, because he is far off, and I will be. And there's a lot of lukewarm Christians in the United States, and I'm not saying there isn't. I've been on that road. Actually, I've never actually been on that road, because I'm either the devil or I'm walking with God. And what I mean by that is I'm not going to toe the line. I'm either totally in or totally out. And I'm not saying I go off and dress up like a drag queen or nothing like that. Be funny right there, but I'll say I just don't even pay attention to God when I was away from God for a while. I just live my life sort of like an atheist when I was. Now, I'm not trying to be funny or nothing, but when lukewarm Christians, I see why he says he spews them out of. Jesus said he spews them out of his mouth. And I understand why, because it's kind of sickening. And remember when Jesus was hanging out with prostitutes and the tax collectors, and they asked, why are you hanging out with these type of people? He says, the well people don't need a doctor, but the sick needs a doctor. Now, was he telling them that they don't need Jesus? No, he wasn't saying that. He was making an illustration, making a point. He was going off by their own judgment of themselves. Evidently, they don't think they need a Savior. So he came for the people who would want to be saved. And the parables that were lock and key, and the unsaved did not get it, and it went right over their head. He still today, to this very day, calling people out to himself. Now, right quick, let's go back. Let's talk about Lebanon. Turkey is saying that they're warning Lebanon that Israel is about to come in and go at it with them. Now, here's what I believe God is telling a lot of people is that if you go back and listen to some of my shows back in 2009 summertime, you're gonna see that I had said that the eclipses were signs, and I do believe that, and I believe that the generation will run out in 2018. So 2012 is not too far away from the scenario, but I don't think 2012 is going to be really effective. I think it's going to be a misdate. And I'll tell you why real quick before the show goes off. And I don't even know if the show is even on because it says on my switchboard on live now, 7 minutes remaining. And it's been 7 minutes for like 2 hours. So I don't know what's going on, man. Actually, it's 3 minutes. But I'm going to talk about tomorrow. I'm going to have a show tomorrow, and I'm going to talk about various. I'm probably going to have a test show. But it's going to be kind of impossible for me to have a test show. But I wanted to test my equipment before I had the show come on. But the show is supposed to go I might try to extend it right now. If I can't extend it, then I'll see y'all tomorrow. I waited a little bit too late to try to extend the show, but I'm gonna try to extend it. And if I can extend it, then whoop-de-doo. If I can, I'll see y'all tomorrow. And they might punish me for, I might not be able to have a show because just remember, I might have to be on another program that I have called The Midnight Zone. And The Midnight Zone is the prophecy zone, just in the dark. And I don't mean dark like, you know what I mean, that type of dark. I don't think I'm going to be able to do it because it's saying, but I'm going to go ahead and keep going. Because I got 90 seconds to do it, and this computer is not the fastest computer. Actually, I'm on my Apple, so it is kind of fast. But I don't think I'm going to get to it in 90 seconds. I might. And then I can probably talk to y'all about a few more things before we hit the road, Jack. But anyway, I can't believe I haven't had any commercials yet. I'm gonna go ahead and put it to 60 minutes and then submit. So this lady should stop saying 30 seconds, 60 seconds. Okay. I think I got it. I'm not sure. Yep. I got it, so I have to look on the switchboard. Now it says 1 minute on the switchboard, so I don't know if I got it or not. But anyway, I'm going to see, because now my hourglass is off, and I hate those little hourglasses on these computers because they really make me sick because they show up at the specific time when you're trying to do something. And I don't even know if the computer's picking up that I'm even here. Because my switchboard has been, like, jumping around. So I don't know what it's going to do in the next couple of seconds or minutes. There it is, 14 minutes. I kind of like this because if we decide to extend the show, it works out perfectly well. Well, I'm going to go ahead and talk a little bit about Israel, and then I'm going to get back to talking about Lebanon. I mean, sorry, about the Haiti, and then we're going to go off. But like I said, this show is kind of just thrown together. But starting tomorrow, we're going to probably take a blow or a hit, and then next week we'll be on track. But we'll be back after these messages.
Join me, Phil Armstrong, in the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio every Sunday and Saturday at 7 o'clock as we talk about end-time prophecy in line with the second coming of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Blog Talk Radio, we discuss end-time events, the mind of Jesus Christ's second coming, earthquakes, pestilence, the mark of the beast technology, the Antichrist, the false prophet, the dividing of Jerusalem, and much more. Join us for our action-packed information that will keep you informed so you can be ready for the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Once again, join us on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, I don't know how many commercials that were on that one. I thought these commercials had like three commercials on, but that's fine because I really didn't want to play three commercials. But like I said before, Lebanon is being told by Turkey that Israel's going to smack them. Now, they found that Lebanon not only supports Hezbollah, but they also look at Lebanon, our military Hezbollah as Lebanon military. They're looking at them the same way. So it fits perfectly with a scenario that will one day take place. And I'm not saying this year is going to be it or next year, but I am calling it soon. Okay, so this time when the world sees Israel go into, there's going to be another event that happens where Israel will push into Lebanon, and everybody's going to think this thing is going to blow over, but it won't. And then Syria will get involved, and then that war will go on, and I don't know how it's going to materialize, because it can materialize where Israel takes out Damascus. And then they sign a peace deal, everything's fine, and a temporary peace deal, not the Antichrist, though, just the United States sign a temporary peace deal, everything's fine. Then Israel gets into it with Syria, and they also decide they want to smack Iran, and Israel drops a nuke on Damascus, Isaiah 17, verse 1, and Israel says, you know what? We're not taking this crap. So what they do, they realize that Syria is using chemical weapons. That ticks them off, right? So they go in and drop a nuke over Damascus, which we need to pray for Damascus. I don't take glory in this happening. And then at the end of Isaiah 17, it matches Ezekiel 38 and 39. A lot of people believe that Ezekiel 38 and 39 is Armageddon, but it makes no sense. Unless it was a 14-year tribulation, and the second half of the tribulation was 7 years, this is going to take 7 years to burn the weapons. And I can't understand why people avoid that one little sentence. It's like we're so smart, we need to, I mean, and I'm not saying line upon line, precept upon precept, we should use that. But when you look at this, it says it takes 7 years to burn the weapons. What else time period do you know that is 7 years? The 7-year tribulation period. So, I'm placing Ezekiel 38 and 39 pre-tribulation. And I also place the rapture sometime in around this event. Now, would I go out and tell somebody, you guys, that I don't have a big enough audience to even worry about people going out partying like it's 1999 until Jesus comes back running around like a drag queen? I don't really think anybody's going to be going to do that just because I say then they'd be looking for this Russian war, right? Which I think would be flat out stupid to do that. Now, going back to the Haiti earthquake, I do sorrow. I look at the kids and I sorrow greatly. I look at my little newborn baby, and I saw a newborn baby about the same age. And I'm just like, man, the United States, we got it so good for right now. We're running out of time, though, folks. We look at, and it's, if you go back and listen to my Michael Jackson, you go back and listen to my Michael Jackson show, you're gonna see that I'm still I'm saying the same thing, and the thing I'm saying is this: we don't think it's ever gonna happen to us. Now we think it could, but at the back of our minds, and even to the front of our minds, we think we're invincible. You say, no, we don't. We don't think that. Yes, we do. We'll sit there and say, oh, poor Haitians. We even send them some money. But that's never going to happen here because we're, what is the United States? Very invincible. We're a Christian nation, right? Now, you go try to tell people about Jesus or have a conversation about Jesus at school, at work, around the coffee table. Go ask your spouse about Jesus. Talk to your next door neighbors. Go three houses down and see if three people can give you one conversation about Jesus. And then tell me, is this a Christian nation? I'm getting tired of people telling me this is a Christian nation on the surface. But then they'll tell you, you're a sinner because we saw you here or there. Well, what about the country? See, God judges countries inside of history, but he judges individuals outside of history. God will judge me, good or bad, outside of history. But here's the deal, though. He will judge a country inside of history. But sometimes, and a lot of times, he judges people inside of history because he's judging an individual inside of the country. Did I lose anybody? I hope not. Our country is the greatest country ever created. That's why I hate when my race brings up the race card. I think anybody, the smartest people I've ever met is African Americans, and I'll tell you why. Because we have great common sense. I said, what do you mean? White people have come. Yeah, white people is the most smartest people I have ever met. Puerto Rican people is the most smartest people I've ever met because a lot of us have common sense. Common sense is a good thing. If you don't have any common sense, what's the use of having sense at all? But you will never get successful or rich being an entrepreneur if you don't have any common sense. So we can scratch that out and put that in the bank. But see, African Americans, we need to realize that we live in the greatest country ever. And I'm going to say something right now that's going to make everybody say what. If you stick around, I'll make you understand. When you look at society and the outsourcing and all this bullcrap, we don't manufacture anything in the United States at all. It makes me sad when I see these African-American and white American, whatever color, in college, busting their butt to get an education where the infrastructure is so messed up that for these people to get a job, it's going to be very hard. So the African American young man or woman who is offered a job, that's a blessing to be offered a job in this time. But see, the United States gives people the chance to go out and do and apply for these jobs or get jobs that are supposed to be there. And that's how you become successful in a nation like this. You get a job, You go to college, you get a job, you become successful, and boom. But if the infrastructure is not there, how are you going to get a job if we don't make anything? We don't serve. We don't do anything. We service. So what an engineer has to do, or a doctor or a lawyer has to do, is those three fields are automatic. Engineer, lawyer, doctor, if you get those three fields. But if you don't get those three fields, the infrastructure of our country, and I say infrastructure, I'm not talking about roads and bridges, I'm talking about the system that we have where there's jobs, there's creation, there's motivation to create, there's no high taxes. If the infrastructure is there, then the African-American young man or woman can possibly find those jobs. Now you say, well, John is going with his boys and he's drive-by shooting. How are we going to get him off the street? Then how are you going to sit him down and say, you can make something of yourself. You can do this and this, unless he can be rap, unless he can become a film director. He's going to have to provide service, because this is all we do in this country is provide service anyway. So he's going to have to provide service, right? So if he does not provide a service or go to learn how to provide a service, he's going to be in trouble. Okay? So we have to, as a nation, understand, and let me go back to why I said all of that. The reason why I said all of that is because our country is a great country, and it still is a great country for right now. But we have to understand that if the infrastructure rug is pulled from under us, the system is pulled from under us, when the legislation allow for jobs to be shipped north or south of the border or overseas, we have no more, we don't make anything. Therefore, no one will have jobs in the first place, no matter what color you are. So when you allow, we're voting for the first black African-American president in history, Now things are going to be changed. Now we're going to see work done. It's the same old protocol. Same old thing. Different story. What would I do if I was president? I'm not president, but I can tell you what I would do. Probably get me shot. But I know for sure I'll stop the outsourcing. What I would probably do is try to return some type of manufacturing, do a lot of research and try to find what can we manufacture and service to the world. But you know how these politicians, they're getting international, to become internationalists. They want world government. They're not going to let a president get in office and tell them we can't continue to destroy America. We can't continue to destroy America, folks. We got this president who loves killing babies, loves homosexuals, and I mean, I'm not judging anybody out there. God will make the final call. He hates Christians. That's why he made that little boo-boo. See, these guys run off of being a Christian. They run off this stuff. They eat it up and it flourishes with it until the election is over. It's like sleeping with a girl. You meet a girl at a club, sleep with her, and then drop her off at the restaurant and say, I got to go. Well, I'm never going to see you again. Next thing you know, the lady's pregnant. The girl's pregnant, never see you again. Don't know your name or anything. Gave her a fake name and everything. Well, these politicians treat us like we're a bunch of whores because they take our vote. And then they're going to do what they want to do. Now, should a Christian like myself be talking like this? Well, maybe I'm sleepy. But I'm going to tell you this. We're losing our country. It was like your husband keep eating chicken. I say, well, chicken is not going to kill you. If you keep eating chicken, if you eat chicken long enough, it's going to kill you. And right now, we just fast pacing it up with a whole bunch of potato chips, salty potato chips. We're going to kill ourselves, folks. The Bible says my people perish for lack of knowledge. And trust me, that's for all points of life. If you're an atheist, you will still perish because you lack knowledge. And it's also distorted knowledge. We say, if you believe in snakes, that was your religion, snakes. And the all-encompassing result of life, when it's all said and done, you'll be a complete failure if you lack knowledge. If I had a baby and I didn't know that she's supposed to wipe everywhere, well, that baby can develop a rash, right? Well, what if the rash gets so bad that the baby gets infected with a disease? Well, I lack knowledge. I didn't know that. Well, babies are known for not knowing they should not touch hot stoves. But adults, we burn ourselves all the time with hot stoves. We accidentally pick up something we knew it was hot. Why didn't you pick it up for? I don't know. Am I just babbling on? Yeah, I'm babbling on. And I keep babbling on, but I'm enjoying babbling because this is the first time I've done a show in like 3 weeks maybe. And this is not an organized show. This is sort of what is called a unorganized show. It is just me babbling. But I believe that we are heading for some tough times in this country. And as we watch this Haitian relief and the things that are in Haiti, we need to really think twice about what are we doing as a nation? How far away are we, or how close are we to Jesus? We'll be back after these messages.
Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You're listening to the Prosperity Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
What you just heard was an actual recording of my daughter's heartbeat within my womb. And ever since my husband Jeff saw our moving, active, vibrant daughter by way of live ultrasound image and heard her precious heartbeat within the womb, he's been horrified that we as a society legally kill our children at this stage of life.
As a society, we legally kill our children.
This is the greatest human rights issue of our day.
To join in the conversation, Fridays 9 to 11, visit WeKillChildren.org and find the show. That's WeKillChildren.org.
Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You're listening to the Prosperity Zone
on Blog
Talk Radio.
You're ready, radio. Go.
Now, we don't go blowing up people and killing our enemies because God never told us to do so, but we're literalists in our interpretation of what the Bible says. We believe it verbatim, we believe it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and we live accordingly. So why is that so hard to believe that Muslims would do the same? Because the Quran puts no limitations on the violence and the war against those who stand opposed to Islam, where the Bible and the New Testament, especially in grace under which we live, Jesus never mandates that we do such a thing. So, you know, they're literalists and we are literalists. Theirs causes them to be violent.
Rapture Ready Radio, live on Tuesday and Saturday, and the BB Report live on Thursday. Visit www.raptureReadyRadio.com for more show information.
Hey, everybody out there, my name is Phil Armstrong, and I'd like to invite y'all to join us on the Prophecy Zone every Thursday and Sunday as we talk about the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about world events like the Mark of the Beast, Israel, Middle East peace talks, Middle East wars. We're going to be talking about things like the end time generation that we live in, because we are living in the final days. So join us on the Prophecy Zone.
Something good is going to happen. A peace conference, which would include Israel and moderate Arab states, may convene in Washington in November. Middle East peace conference likely in November. Great. Abbas, ready to work on declaration of principles for peace with Israel. New Palestinian platform, peace with Israel, Jerusalem as joint, capital, they're going to divide it. Olmert, and of course that is the Prime Minister of Israel. Israel ready to discuss Arab peace initiative. The Saudis back U.S. Middle East plans. Well, here's something that isn't good. An ambush is on the way to preserve its nuclear weapons program. Iran threatens to undermine the latest Middle East peace moves. In Syrian diplomat scorns Bush Mideast proposal. You know what that proposal is all about? That is to resolve the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, friends. It's a good thing. Oh, I just pray that it would go ahead and it could happen. But, Jack, you don't believe it's
going to
happen.
No, it's not going to work because they're going to say peace, peace, and there'll be no peace. Jeremiah 6:14, Jeremiah 8:11, when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, 1 Thessalonians 5:3. It's not going to work because Ahmadinejad and Hamas, Hezbollah, Bin Laden, all of them, one goal. Let us cast Israel off from being a nation, that their name be no more in remembrance. Psalm 83, verse 4. So this is what's going to happen. At the beginning of the program, we said that this could be the sign that signals the return of Christ, but it's only if this happens. First, the leader must come out of the European Union, Daniel 2:9-26. It must be a 7-year contract, Daniel 9:27. Must involve peace with all the nations I just outlined a moment ago. But furthermore, 2 Thessalonians 2:7 says the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now hinders will continue to hinder until he be removed, taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked one, the Antichrist, be revealed, who makes that peace contract. Now, who's taken out of the way? Not the Holy Spirit. That's the biggest misunderstanding ever. He is omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times and cannot be taken from the earth. Psalm 139. Well then, who is removed? Those in whose hearts the Holy Spirit dwells. We are his temples. 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 1 Corinthians 6:19. And we have to be removed before this one can come and declare this peace contract under the conditions I already mentioned. So soon we're going to hear, come up hither, Revelation 4:1, and we're going to sweep through the heavenlies in the twinkling of an eye, 1 Corinthians 15:52, and then those peace negotiations take place. But if this is the time, we could be gone at any hour.
Oh, yes, we could be gone at any hour. If the Lord were to come today, would you be ready? We need to be ready. Jack, point us as to how we can know that we are ready if the Lord should come today.
Oh, it's so simple, Rick Sella. God has made it hard. whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Romans 10:13. Will you do it? Look at me and pray this from your heart. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for Calvary, for the cross on which you suffered so severely for me, shedding that precious blood to wash me, cleanse me, and save me. Today I want to be ready. And all I have to do is call on you, it says in your word. Lord Jesus, I call. Come into my heart now. Make me your child. Save me for a long time in eternity. Amen.
Amen.
That was Jack Van Impe and his wife, Rosella Van Impe. I've been listening to them for like almost 10 years. And he has been a really great brother and the Lord to me. He might not know me until we get to heaven because I never met him, but I know he lives in my hometown. He lives in my home state, not hometown, but home state, right outside my hometown that I grew up in. And he's a blessing. He got off tangents of talking about the Catholic Church for a while, but he's a blessing. I like to lift him up in prayer with him and his wife once in a while and their staff. Well, we here at Prophets of Zone are going to be starting our website. Our website is not done, and I apologize for anybody who went on there and it looks like a construction site that, with unfinished work. But we do commercials on the Prophecy Zone, but we apologize. But we're trying to get them into the older shows. So once these shows start taking off, then people listen to the archives. We'll have a heads up also. So that's why we do that. If you call in, we may take one or two calls. So dial one on the board, and you should be able to get in. If you're out there, if anybody's out there, that's fine. That'd be fine. I don't know if anybody picked up this phone or not, because I'm actually doing it on the home phone, and I usually do these shows on my dashboard, my mic, but we're not doing that today because I didn't plan on having a show at all, but it might cause me not to be able to have one tomorrow, so if we don't have one on Sunday, then you know why. I was hoping it's because we started on Saturday night and went into Sunday that they'd be okay with letting me do a show. But we'll see if they're going to let me do a show or not tomorrow. If not, we'll be seeing y'all on Thursday. So hopefully we're going to start sending out invitations for these shows so we can try to get our listenership up. I'm also going to be looking at going on a local station here once a week in Spokane, Washington. That's once a week. And preaching the gospel here in town. And who knows, God, before God comes, I might be on a few more stations. Who knows? I'm hoping he never give me the shot. I hope he's the trumpet sounds before I can even get a shot at it. Because I'm going to tell y'all, folks, I think it's kind of retarded. And I'm going to use that word because they say you ain't supposed to use the word retarded. But it depends on what you're using it with for. And I think it's retarded to want to be here in a world like this and not have a better vision of what heaven is about. Now, the Bible doesn't speak a lot about heaven. Actuality, we know more about hell than we do about heaven, because the imagination can take us to heaven easy. The Bible says it should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, we know it's going to hurt. But as far as heaven is concerned, We don't know anything about that. Now, Paul even said, I've heard things that I can't even utter, you know. And we know that the Bible speaks about the angels and before the throne of God. And we know that it is outside, God sits outside of eternity. Time is a created object. And we have to know that time was created. And we know that if we have a better perspective of heaven, we probably wouldn't want to be down here too much longer. I mean, it's just, to me, it's just too many things. And I'm not saying, I'm not talking like I'm a wisp, because I'm actually a tough person. Military and all this other stuff. But what I'm saying is I think people undercut the realities of heaven versus the living down here in this quagmire of gossip and hurt and terror and rape and pillaging. And even when you're not even in the position of somebody, you know, third world country, or you've been involved in the Katrina, or your life, you know, you got to get your liver removed, or you know, you got a tumor, or you got cancer. I mean, it seems to me that people have a poor perspective of heaven or God Himself. It's because we are so focused and concentrated on being down here. If we really think about it, when you were born, you were an eternal being. This life is little on the scale of eternity, whether you spend it in heaven or hell. Why does people make people like me look like a fool when I'm talking about heaven and the rapture and all this stuff? Let's see, rapture, non-rapture people. You make heaven, you undercut heaven, and you promote this place down here. Oh, go ahead, live. You got to live, man. You can't be thinking about heaven and all this other stuff. Well, you go ahead and stay down here and relax and go through the tribulation period running from spiders and snakes and men in uniform that got guns and tear gas and going to cut off your head with a guillotine. You go ahead and enjoy yourself. Watch the soap operas until the second half of the tribulation period start if you want. But I'll be listening for the trumpet. And when I get to heaven, and it's beautiful and shiny and gold roads and no death and all this stuff, I'll pray for you up there. I pray that my Lord do something for you down here. Because there are Christians down here trying to get rich. Hey, I want my heaven now. I don't need it up there. I need it now. Who's that? Benny Hinn? I need my heaven now. Well, the rate you're going, you probably get your hell, too. You say, well, that's judgmental. That's not judgmental, folks, man. I'm telling you, it's not judgmental. I'm not sentencing. I'm not saying he's going to. I can't do that. I can't send anybody to hell. That's impossible. I can't condemn him to hell. I can't do any of those things, but I can tell you this. A lot of the people that are on television, not everyone, but a lot of these guys on television, definitely, are headed in the wrong direction. A lot of them. And I'm not going to sit up here and say who's going to heaven and who's not. That's not my job. But I could tell you by their actions. If you drive to a 7-Eleven store with your buddies, and they get out the car and they go rob the place, and they were just joking about it the night before, and you tell the court, well, I didn't think they were really going to do it. Now you got to spend 3 years in jail because they're not going off if you're lying or not. They're going off of what you did. Did you know this was going to take place? Did you have any idea? Why didn't you call the police? Well, I would have screwed on my friends. Now you got to spend 3 years with Big Bubba in the jail. Do you realize that? I don't think you do.
No, I don't realize that I'm going to have to go along with this crap, you know.
But I'll say this. A lot of the faith movement people right, in the room. I just left a church about a year ago, maybe longer, and the preacher was preaching. He says, lead by your words. You have to lead by your words, people. Lead by my words. So technically you, because I've already read, before that happened, I've read about the faith movement. I've read about false prophets. I've read about all that stuff, but I never put two and two together. So I was like, dude, the Bible says the just shall live by faith, not lead by your words. So already this is a doctrine already made up. And then one of the associate pastors that made a comment, we are Christ. No, you guys are misunderstanding me. We are Christ. So he's not saying we belong to Christ. He's saying we are Christ, which is part of the New Age movement. Now, in the Matthew 24, it says, many should come in my name saying, I am Christ, and should deceive many. Millions should come. So I believe this will become a movement through the tribulation period. But I believe it will all be channeled in the second half of the tribulation period, too, towards the Antichrist. He said, now you guys are Christ, but I am Big Christ. I am God. That's what he's going to say. Follow me. I am the Antichrist. Everybody's going to come following after. Now, right quick, I got 7 minutes. I'm going to cover in the show, future show, I don't believe that the beast to come out to sea is just Europe. I believe when the Antichrist shows up, the kingdom that came up, that Nicolae Sarkozy introduced, will be the beast. And this beast is now you notice the, real quickly, the statue, it has two legs with 10 toes, two opposite, five on one, five on the other. Well, it represents the east and the west. So Europe will be represented by the west, and the east will be represented by Africa and the Middle East. And then the Antichrist will stand up and lead. It would not just be Europe. A lot of these preachers are talking about it would just be Europe. Where I get my stuff from, I get it from the Bible. Same place they get it from. It's like when they say, and I'm not saying this arrogantly, I'm saying this, I don't understand why people miss these simple concepts. If it's the Roman Empire and it's the old Roman trajectory of the empire, that means that not only does Constantinople, who leads the East, is in it, but also the European Union, which is used to be the Roman Empire, part of the West, led by Rome. Now, who is the Antichrist? A lot of people say, I don't even know why they would even say Obama was the Antichrist. The Bible calls the Antichrist the king of fierce features. The word fierce means just that. If you see a dog and he coming after you with them big old teeth, he looks fearful. I am scared of him. He puts fear inside of me. Unless I have some doggone spray. Spray right in his eyeball. The mailman got the spray to make a dog. You know. The Antichrist, the Bible calls him the king of fierce features. So that eliminates most politicians. He's a good-looking guy, but he looks intimidating. Looks like a mafia member, taller than most people, slick hair back, green eyes, tan, good-looking guy, but looks really fearful. He's going to be a work of art. He's going to be packaged perfectly. Tall dude. He won't be short. He'd be tall dude. The Bible says he should have a look more stout than his fellows. That's what it says about the Antichrist, folks. It also calls him the Assyrian. So, if Damascus is taken out, could their leadership be taken out also? Maybe he becomes king or president of, the Bible calls him the willful king. It's like God is trying to point out that he is a king. Remember, he's a copycat Christ, folks. Jesus is Lord of Lords, King of Kings, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. This guy will be a monarch. It could be a new restoration of a monarch of Syria. The Bible calls him the Assyrian. Now, Syria could also be Lebanon. So we don't know for sure. Now, when we speculate about these things, we use the Bible, and I'm not saying everybody doesn't. We don't have a patent on it. Until it happens, we won't know. We won't have a patent on it. We don't. Nobody has a patent on Bible prophecy. So I'm not saying these guys are totally wrong, because I've been wrong before. Trust me. When I had said Adam and Eve was going to hell, I was totally wrong on that issue. And I'm wrong on a lot of things, folks. But when I see stuff like, well, the book of Ezekiel 38 and 39 is in, or when I see something like, well, they say that's in, that's Armageddon. But when I see something like, well, we're in the seventh trump right now. You can't be in a seventh trump, folks. The seal, the first seal has to be opened by Jesus, not by you, by Jesus. So you can't go past, you can't, unless you have the seventh seal open, then the first trump cannot be opened without the seventh seal. The seventh seal is what opens the first trump. So for somebody to come up to me and say, well, we're in the eighth trump, there is no eighth trump. I mean, am I arrogant? No. I'm just saying. I've heard some stuff, folks. I've heard some stuff. I've heard, like, a person, and I'm changing the subject sort of. I heard somebody say, we can't have this doctrine or doo-doo. Call it doctrine doo-doo. I know you off base, Chief. It does not matter if somebody's rich and have this big television station or they're the biggest preacher in history. It doesn't matter. You can blow hell wide open. I can blow hell wide open. It does not matter, folks, unless we're born again. Okay? I'm getting kind of worried here because this thing is not saying. Blog Talk, all you Blog Talk radio producers or radio show hosts, she know the lady should be saying, 30 seconds, you have such, and she's not saying anything. Okay, there it is. She said 90, and then she cut it off. But God bless everybody out there. Hopefully I can do a show tomorrow. If not, you guys will see me. I might even try to do one on my other radio program called Midnight Zone. And I'm going to start doing a lot more shows on all of these radio programs. Because I got like 6 radio programs. And I would love to just spread the word. I'm telling y'all, where time is short. Time is short. And yes, I will do a show talking about what we should expect this year. And there are signs in the skies coming in July, same time from last year, that God has still not there were signs for 3 years in a row, 2008, 9, and 10, and at the same time as Jewish holidays or eclipses. Okay, but God bless everybody out there. And y'all have a wonderful night. God bless.